So would you like to truly prosper? How many of you are up for prospering? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm two hands. I'm all in. So let's start by imagining, letting come to our minds. Who do we imagine to be prosperous? Or just allow one person to arise in your mind. Just whatever comes, whoever comes. This person that you consider to be a prosperous person. And then reflect for a moment as that person rises in your mind. What is it about them that you think is prosperous? Why did you think of them? So you may or may not have thought of somebody who makes a lot of money or has a lot of things. But that is a common way in our society that we think of prosperity. The Cambridge Dictionary, in fact, defines prosperity as someone who is successful and has a lot of money. And of course, that's only material prosperity. That's only a part of what prosperity is all about. Things we know come and go. But what endures is a prosperous idea, a prosperous thinking, a prosperous consciousness. And what can spring forth from that are things on our command. For example, consider Jesus. He had no possessions. He walked through the countryside and just was given whatever was needed to fulfill his immediate needs. And yet, by command, was able to feed thousands of people just by thanksgiving and praise for the invisible, infinite source of spirit that can fulfill our supply at any given time. Out of the spiritual ethers into the manifested reality, out of that invisible source into the physical experience that we can have. So this too is how prosperity works for us, that it shows up in the material world out of the spiritual understanding or the spiritual world. Unity has a book called The Revealing Word that Charles Fillmore primarily authored, and in it he describes prosperity this way. Prosperity is the consciousness of God as the abundant, everywhere present resource, unfailing, ready for all who open themselves to it through faith. And Myrtle, the co-founder of Unity with Charles, put it quite directly. She said, "Your prosperity comes to you instead of through you." No, other way around. Your prosperity comes through you instead of to you. When I left a decent job in Chicago many years ago to pursue ministry, a decent paying job, I should say, my best friend at the time was an attorney, and she said, "Well, ministry isn't a very lucrative profession, is it?" Obviously, that was a value to her, and I have to admit, I had financial concerns myself, yet I had an understanding, at least a theoretical understanding at that point, that that's not really what prosperity was all about, or it wasn't limited to just that idea of money and material prosperity, that there was more to it I intellectually at least understood, and I was walking this journey as a calling, so we'd see what Spirit had in mind, right? After a few years of when I graduated from ministerial school, I was working at Silent Unity, Unity's prayer ministry. And one day I was in the bathtub, just immersed in this warm water, and I just all of a sudden felt so prosperous. I just had that flash of just like, wow, I am so prosperous. And I was making less money than I probably about the same as I had when I was a teenager. And I just, so it wasn't about the money. It was like, but there was this feeling of just kind of, you know how that, I don't know if it happens for you like this when you have those moments, it's just like a wave comes over you, you know, that you're just caught up in the moment and you just have this this knowing, this understanding, this aha that emerges out of that light that has just opened for you. And it was like that. And it was just like in this, wow, how could I feel so prosperous when I make so little? And then I just thought about all the prosperity just for a moment, the friends I had, the free time I had. I prayed for a living. That's all I did all day long was pray for people. So I was constantly uplifted in that wave of healing and prosperity and harmony and guidance and all those good, strong, principled words. So affirmed all the time. And even springing forth from those feelings of prosperity, I had a big house that I was still living in and I was able to keep because I rented the downstairs apartment to one delightfully eccentric coworker after another. And so it was just like, wow, there's so much in my life, you know, to keep it interesting and to keep it prospering. So it's those, you know, the point of all that is it's the feeling, right? It's the feeling that allows us to know that we are prosperous. The feeling is golden in our prosperity. What enriches us is the trust. What enriches us is when we trust that there is an infinite supply, a source that is constantly sourcing our good, that there can be 100,000 different channels to the good. It's not about the job. It's not about the house. It's not about the husband or wife who makes a bunch of money. It's not about any of that. It is about that, but it's not, it doesn't end there. It's about the feeling underneath it. It's what's back behind the stuff and the physicality. That's where the prosperity lies. And so for us, it's digging into that, falling into that, dropping into it, feeling it, letting it wash over us that truly prospers us. The cause of our good, then, is being present to the presence. That's the key. Be here now. That's a common phrase that we use today in mindfulness circles and spiritual circles. Be here now. And be here now is a mental mindset, isn't it? It's a mental mindset with endless positive effect. It's a cause that can bring forth those kinds of effects that we want to attract our good to us in so many different ways. It's the kind of thing that when we are here now, fully here now, in whatever it is that we are up to, that it, even if it's a mundane task like brushing our teeth or washing our dishes, it can become suddenly a sacred experience. That activity becomes sacrosanct, and therefore, by extension, our lives do, because moment by moment, activity by activity, we are in that presence. We are in that, that we are submerged or immersed in that knowing that I am prosperous, that my every need is met. So there was a group of us from Unity here that were part of a play date, a fundraising play date this past week. We went, a group of women went backpacking. And there was this, a theme that sort of organically arose from our group was be here now. You know, this kind of idea, this intention to be here now. On the last night, we were making a fire on the beach, and there were three of us that went to get some wood that we had kind of gathered over the week and or over the few days and set aside. And as we were walking back to the designated space that we're going to make the fire, I had this moment. I don't know, I'm going to try to describe it, but you know how it is when you try to describe a spiritual moment to someone else, and they just go, oh, yeah. So hopefully you won't just go, oh, yeah, but you might. You might think that was good for her, but it makes me remember what I experienced and reflect upon a time when you experienced something like this. So we're walking, arms full of firewood, and we're kind of staggered in our walking, and you can smell the salt in the air, you know, feel the ocean breeze, hear the lapping. And as we're walking, I just have this moment where I think, this will never happen again. This very configuration will never happen again. These three women walking on this deserted beach in anticipation with firewood in our arms and this breeze and this sound and this feel, all of that, it won't happen again. And I was so fully in it. It was so precious. I felt like I was floating, that it was timeless. that there was just this knowing of how very sacred that moment was, how important that moment was. Imagine if we were that alert in every moment of our day. Imagine what bliss we would live in, what prosperity we would live in, right? So it's when we practice in this way, we have more of those moments. And they string together into a lifetime of experience like that, in the flow, in the joy, in the preciousness, holding it, like knowing, like Oliver Berkman wrote recently, 4,000 weeks is the average lifetime. That's not very much. 4,000 weeks. I don't know how many moments are in those 4,000 weeks, but we can make them more full, more prosperous, more fulfilling for us by being fully present. And by that, I don't mean just to the content of the moment, right? So I'm describing a moment where I'm aware of the content, really aware and alert to the textures and the feel and the sensory content of that physical moment. But it's more than that. It's beyond that. It's beyond that because we are dropped into the presence in the present. And it's that that really feeds us, that really taps that ever-present flowing fountain of goodness and prosperity and abundance. Pure now. So it's that preciousness of life that when, you know, we recognize that, you know, we know collectively that nobody's ever lied, as far as we know, we all believe, I think most of us believe that we haven't laid on our deathbed saying, I wish I would have worked more, you know, it's not usually what we reach for, you know. We might say, I wish I would have reached out to so-and-so, I wish I could speak to them again, I wish I could I wish I would have healed that relationship. I wish I would have said, I'm sorry. I wish I would have said, thank you. I wish I would have said, I love you. Right? Those are the things that we usually think about in those moments. And so it's what really we value ultimately. That's where our prosperity points. And so for us to consider what it is that we might do or say, if today were our last day, to consider ourselves as if we were in a death lodge like many indigenous people practice, where in our process of transitioning, people come to visit us. And when they come to say their goodbyes and their thank yous and their I love yous and their I apologizes, and we to them, there is a sense of completion and fullness and healing and wholeness. Prosperity. That's prosperity. So what happens in those times, if you do have something in your life that you think, well, I could take a step toward that feels like it needs to be healed, that place that I'd like a little more harmony, that old grudge that I'd like to finally clear, those ill feelings that I have that I'd like to finally drop or release. If that's happening for you, I want to encourage you to go and do it. Go and do it. Maybe take with you the words from self-identity, Ho'oponopono, from a Hawaiian tradition that says, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. It's not really much more to say, is there, than those. Jesus said that when we bring our gift to the altar in the temple and we go to give our tithe or our gifts and we remember or we realize we have something to reconcile, that there is someone who has something against us or we against them, he says, don't leave your gift now at the altar. Go and be reconciled first and then come back and give your gift. And we all have an instant understanding of that because we understand what it's like to give when our heart is free and open and unencumbered, and what it feels like to give when our hearts are closed off, when there are even partial blocks. It's not the same, is it? And so it is to go and release and do that work so that we can give freely from that place. Forgiveness is one of the four pillars of prosperity, and my own teachings of prosperity that are also influenced to some degree by Unity Prosperity Teacher, Reverend Edwin Gaines. And it's that idea that we want to keep our relationships clear and clean and current. One of the things that Edwin says is this: if you want to prosper, raise your standard of giving. And of course, she means it literally, like raise your standard of giving, right? Give more in order to prosper more. But also then, if we can look at that and say, well, how can I raise my standard of giving? Yes, I can give more, but what is it, you know, what's the inner work that I can do? It points to this, you know, clearing the pathway of the heart so that we can give freely, so that we just open it up. And when we open up that pathway, it's natural for us to want to give. There is a natural impulse to be generous out of that centered space that we live in, that we dwell in when we are in spirit. And so it's coming to that place that we want to, that we have that innate impulse. Do you ever have that feeling like, oh, I just want to give this to somebody? Or, you know, I've had those experiences, and you probably too have, as a giver and receiver, when you're talking with somebody, especially in the kind of spiritual travel circles that we travel in, and you say, oh, I really love that. And they say, here, have it. You had that experience before? And it's that, just that generous impulse, right? I just want to share because you appreciate it, because you liked it, and it feels good to give in that way. And so this is a part of that flow. So when we open our hearts, it's those sore spots, right? Those ill feelings, they just fall away. The four pillars that I mentioned, forgiveness is one of them, giving is one of them, gratitude is another, and vision is another. And they're all built on a foundation of faith. So these are the pillars, the strong points that arise out of that foundation of faith that are a part of our prosperity. But what I really want to talk about today, or what I am talking about today, is really the space between. It's that center point that sits upon the foundation of faith, that moves amongst the pillars. It's that be here now idea, to be completely grounded in spirit. And then it's from there that we might be drawn to one pillar or to another. It's much like walking the labyrinth. You know, our labyrinth is a chart style. And so when you get to the middle, it's like an open flower. And there's a center point, and there are these different petals. And I don't know about you, but when I go into the labyrinth, most often I head right to the center point, but so often I'm drawn into one of the petals. You have this experience? And so maybe you're centering in one of the petals or the other. And it's kind of the same idea here with prosperity. If you think of that structure and those pillars as a key parts of prosperity, if we are centered in spirit, there will be times we are drawn into toward gratitude, and we suddenly feel grateful, or we express our gratitude, or we might come back into center, and then we feel drawn over to give as in a spontaneous way, perhaps, as I just mentioned, or maybe a commitment to give on an ongoing basis. Or maybe we're drawn into vision, to imagining, to allowing what could be, what is possible. And so it's all of that, our ways in which we prosper. Be here now. That's truly how we prosper. It may seem like an effortless thing to do when we just say the words, be here now, okay, big deal. I just hang out here now, right? But in our society, that is like a Herculean effort, isn't it? Because our society says everything but. It says do, go, move, look at your device, and scroll, 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 right? So it's a big effort to unplug from those, to put down the distractions, to let go of the devices for a few moments, and to allow ourselves to be. It doesn't mean that that couldn't be a relaxing activity. I find it to be relaxing sometimes, to just kind of scroll through my phone or watch TV. But it's not really where I get my spiritual inspiration. How about you? Typically not, right? It might relax us, but it's probably not the way we get inspired. How do you? What are you doing usually when you feel spiritually inspired? Maybe just take a moment to drop into your heart, close your eyes if it helps, and just recall a recent time when you received a spiritual aha, guidance, inspiration. What were you doing when that happened? Maybe consider in general, when and where and how do you get your spiritual answers or your spiritual inspirations? What is it typically that you're doing when you feel inspired? Maybe your inspiration comes when you're sitting against an old tree or sitting on a park bench in a lush, colorful garden or walking. Or maybe your inspirations come when your hands are in the dirt or immersed in paint. Or maybe it comes when you're singing or dancing or writing or on a breathtaking hike. Maybe those are common ways in which your inspiration is stirred for you. Creative endeavors and being in the natural world tends to feed our soul. That's how we tend to the garden of our soul. That's how we allow ourselves a little open space and give spirit permission then to move through us. It's in the open space, actually, that spirit arises. It's in the silence that spirit speaks. It's in the rest that spirit moves and dances. And so it's when we do those things, in whatever ways we do those things, that we give spaciousness, that we allow, that we feel that it moves through us. So if you really want to prosper, just ask spirit, center in that, in the moment within yourself, and ask spirit, you know, what will feed my soul now? What would feed my soul the most? Or what will allow me to feel even more centered in the truth of who I am? And go and do that, whatever that answer may be. In that centered state, we can move in any particular direction that we feel guided. And in that movement, we are likely to move toward greater fulfillment, greater movement of prosperity through us, greater flow. And from that place, it's not uncommon, especially when we move toward imagination or vision, for that feeling to come over us that anything is possible. Imaginative thinking brings forth prosperous thinking that brings forth that idea that anything is possible. I think of a child who was doing what that child always loved to do, which was to walk in the woods. And on one particular day, as that child walked through the woods, they came upon an owl, a beautiful white owl, whose leg was caught in a branch. And the owl said to the child, "Can you see that my foot is caught in the branch, and would you please free me? If so, I will give you a gift." And the child said, "Owl, I would be honored to free you." And so the child moved the branch, and the owl flew away. And the child continued on their walk, and they came across the cow. And they said, "Hi, cow." And the cow said, "Hi, how are you?" And the child said, "Well, I just came upon an owl and freed them." And the owl said that I was given a great gift. "And I'm wondering if my gift is the ability to talk to animals." And the cow said, "Well, didn't you say the owl told you to free, or asked if you would free them from the branch?" And the child said, "Yes." "Then," said the cow, "owl must have given you some other gift." And with that, the child flew away. Anything is possible, right? It all builds, right, doesn't it? When we come into that state of being where we are on that terra firma, you know, that, and I mean that in the spiritual sense of that affirmative understanding, when we stand in the kind of principle that is, that we truly do stand on the shoulders of people like Charles and Myrtle Fillmore and Dr. Emily Cady and Johnny Coleman and these folks that, like, did not waver from principle, you know, it was just like rock solid principle. It's all I can see. It's all I can speak. It's all I can know. It's all I can think. And it's when we touch those places, when we move into those spaces, we stand in that place. It's like anything is possible. I mean, we really know it. You know, we're in that kind of beautiful imaginative, and it's not just and when I say imaginative, I don't mean pretend. I mean using the activated power of imagination to move into the manifested reality where the absolute reality becomes the physical reality, where everything can be manifested at a command. 5,000 people need to be fed? Well, let's take a lunch and see what we can do with it. You know, it's that kind of knowing. These aren't just biblical myths. These are powerful stories of how we can stretch our minds and hearts and bodies and relationships and togetherness to create the kind of world we want to live in. Truly, they aren't just words. I know we say these words over and over again, and so sometimes it just sounds like an old recording, right? Sometimes when we say our blessings and our affirmations, they become rote and routine, and so we speak them, but we don't necessarily feel them. But remember, feeling is what's golden in prosperity. It's the feeling in a prayer that makes it come alive. It's the feeling that makes us connect with one another and connect with spirit and make it so. And so it's opening our hearts to the truth, to the possibility, to the imagination, to the release, to the forgiveness, to the gratitude, to the generosity and the giving. It all comes from be here now. So much from those three little words. So much flows from there. So much of us becomes bigger and broader and more known, our truest selves. From there, from those three little powerful words. The truth is, we prosper in the presence. Will you say that with me? I prosper in the presence. And so it is.